Okay, this is Monday, March 10th, and this is Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, thank you. That incorporated all the little things I could hear in that song that we talk about, and it's absolutely true. One of the favorite things, of course, that Rhoda loved is the saying by Rumi, which says, "Why are you in prison when the doors are wide open?" And this is what we do to ourselves. We put ourselves into our own prisons, and we must get out of it. And the whole idea that we make our own reality, we live in that reality, until we decide to move to a different reality. And that's what this teaching is all about, learning to open your eyes. There's a song, "My eyes are open, now I see." But it's your mind that has to open, you see. And you have to open yourself to a new idea, and a better idea, and a bigger idea. And that new and bigger and better idea is always going to be, what are you thinking about yourself? What are you thinking about yourself? All of us, I think, attended some type of church or temple, learned something when we were children. One of the things that I learned when I went to the Lutheran church was, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But it stopped there. And we have to add to that, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and I believe in the God that dwells within me. I believe in the God that dwells within me. You see, they never continued that. So when we have that I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we think of a God outside of us. And that is what the world teaches, a God somewhere else. A God outside, and we are separate from that God. I am here to tell you that you're not separate from that God. If we can make the statement, God is all there is, and there's nothing but God, then we must be some part of that. And this is what you have to get into your thinking and into your mind, that you are part of God, and that God is the only thing there is. And therefore, if you're some part of God, you must be some part of good. And you must start to concentrate on the good that's in you. Because I will tell you that your mind, this little ego mind, is not going to tell you that you're good. It is going to pick out every little fault that you have. And it's going to make that fault bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're going to listen to that, you see. We cannot have separation of any type. When we think that God is someplace else, that is separation. If you want to manifest something in your life and you're not manifesting it, I can tell you that you're not manifesting it because you have separated from the power. You think that it is somewhere else. Last week I made a statement which I make all the time, and it is the title of this class is Abundance and Prosperity Including Money. But money is a side effect, always. Always a side effect. Andy just heard that for the first time last week. And it made an impression on him, you see. I say things all the time. I just say them in different ways, and I say them over and over until finally you hear what I'm saying. But you have to realize that it's always going to be, seek ye first the kingdom, and all else will be added unto you. What does that mean, seek ye first the kingdom? That means learn who you are. That means learn that you're a part of this whole thing, you see. You've also heard me say many times, your consciousness is your money. What's going on in your consciousness? And you'll find where your money is. If your consciousness is telling you that there's lack and limitation, that you can't have money because of some stupid reason that your mind has made up for you, you're not going to have that money. You're not going to have the demonstrations that you want in life if you think you're separated from the thing that you want. You cannot be separated from the thing that you want. What you want is right here and right now, and you are some part of that. So you have to remember that. If you want love, if you want health, if you want anything, money, whatever you want, creative self-expression, You have to be one with it, and you have to know that you're one with it, you see. There's no other way to do it. But we keep thinking there's something outside of us, you see. Now, when we think there's something outside of us, and we think that's a different reality, you see. Now you're thinking of a different reality. Remember last week I talked about don't live in facts, live in the truth. If you live in facts, you can build up a whole reality about facts, and you'll live there in those facts. But if you knew the truth and you live in truth, then you're going to build a reality of truth, and you're going to live in truth. But what we do as human beings is, you see, we never go inside of ourselves to find that small part of us that's God, or to find the large part of us that's God. Why? Because we separate ourselves from that, and because the physical world is so convincing that we think that this body that we're living in, and we think that this mind, this ego part of our mind, is who we are. And we keep trying to use the ego part of our mind to make a demonstration. The ego part of your mind will never make a demonstration for you people. It will not do it. It wants to keep you where you are. It always wants to keep you where you are. Give up the idea that your mind is your friend. I told you 100,000 times, and I will tell you again, your mind is not your friend. And it will never be your friend. But yet you keep thinking, oh, this time it's going to work for me. This time my mind is going to treat me right. Your mind is not going to treat you right. You're saying. Have to remember that you're not your mind. Your mind is yours to use, you see. And you have to start coming from that other part of you and start using that mind and that light that's inside of you, that part of you that is divine. Find that. Come from that, and you can demonstrate what you want in life, you see. So no separation whatsoever. So first, seek ye the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye the kingdom of heaven. Well, what do we know about some of the things that we would consider the kingdom of heaven? Number one, it would be peace. It would be love, you see. It would be compassion. It would be all those. That's what we're thinking, heaven, you see. That's part of this whole thing. But seek ye what you think about yourself, you see. Remember, it's always going to boil down to, are you thinking that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter? Are you thinking those thoughts? You see? You have to do that for yourself. Last week I handed out and I asked a question before class started, if anyone realizes why this says the fifth Sunday and last week said the fourth Sunday. Well, because we're in the Lenten season at the present moment, and last Sunday was the fifth Sunday in Lent. I always do a program for myself during the Lenten season, which lasts, for people who don't know, 40 days. And this was Sunday. And here again, we'll read this because it's back to listen, my beloved. You have to realize how beloved you are. And you have to know that you are the beloved. So, listen, my beloved, you are unique, and I cherish you. You are a treasure to me. You have to remember how unique you are. Each and every one of us is an individualized expression of God, you say. Why do we have to remember that we are unique individual expressions of God? Because you have to realize that there has never been anyone like you before. There will never be anyone like you again. That really and truly we are all unicorns. Once you realize that you cannot be anything but a unique expression of God, you give up comparison. You give up comparison. It's comparing yourself to other people that gets you into trouble. They have something I don't have. You have everything inside of you. You have to find your own uniqueness and use that uniqueness. This is very good for the actors in the group to realize you don't have to imitate any other actor out there. find your own uniqueness, and the world will come to you. It's the whole idea of that building a better mousetrap. Once you build a better mousetrap, the whole world comes. Once you realize that you are unique and you're not trying to imitate anybody else and you're not comparing yourself to anybody else, that now gives you peace of mind. Now you can stay what I call at home. Your mind isn't racing out to see what somebody else is doing and how is this happening and how is that. You stay within your own self. You save a great deal of time that way. You do.
Save the time.
Yes, you save a great deal of time. So you say, stay inside of yourself. There's nothing you can do when you start to compare, because you can't be somebody else. You can only be you. So you have to know that, and you have to love yourself, you say. You have to love yourself for the unique person that you are. And if you think you're not unique enough, give that idea up. And start finding all the qualities inside of you that make you absolutely unique. Start finding all the talents inside of you that make you absolutely unique. Every one of us has talents. We have qualities. We have all, but they belong to us. They belong to us. You can find anything inside that you want, but you can't find it when you're comparing yourself to somebody else and saying they have it and I don't. Here again, that's complete separation. Now, that also sets up what? It sets up competition. You see. Now, why do I always say there's no such thing as competition? There's only creativity, people. Why is there no competition? Because God cannot compete against itself, people. There's only one God. Working in as and through each one of us. You're saying. So there is no competition. The world wants to teach competition, and it teaches competition to keep your nose to the grindstone, to keep you anxious all the time, to keep you upset all the time. You must compete with somebody. You must compete with somebody. I am telling you, sit down and be creative. Here again, the whole world will come to you. People will come to you. But if you say, oh, I have to compete against that person for that job. I never watch any of those reality shows and any of that garbage that's on television, because what do they always do? They pit one person against the other. You cannot pit somebody against somebody else. There's no such thing as competition. Try to remember that. You are a unique expression of God. You cannot be compared to anybody. So, you are the beloved. You are unique, and I cherish you. You are a treasure to me. You grow more precious each day. Now, think of that. That you grow more precious each day. How many people think of themselves as growing more precious each day? Yes, good. You have to grow more precious each and every day and know that you're becoming more precious. You see? Why are you becoming more precious? Because if you look at yourself as a rough diamond or a diamond in the raw, each time you learn something, each day that passes by, you're polishing that. And that gem that you are is becoming more precious as it is polished. That is the way you see yourself. That is the way you have to look at yourself. Last week I said, how many people know that this is a wonderful world that you live in and you're having a wonderful life? You have to know that you're having a wonderful life. That changes all your consciousness when you realize, I'm having a wonderful life. We're going to do later on a little thing about that, okay? You have many talents, gifts, that you may wisely use in co-creating a life of abundance, joy, and wonder. Use these gifts, my beloved, and you will receive even more to enrich your life. And that is the old adage in the Bible which says, to them that have, more is given. To them that have, more is given. Because, my beloved, and you will receive even more to enrich your life. That's that whole idea, remember, that we learned when I first started, remember, what were you always supposed to say?
Thank you more, please.
Thank you more, please. Always. Thank you more, please. It's there for you. You are part of me, and I am part of you. You have to remember that. Remember, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You have to get that so that your mind doesn't say, oh, that sounds good. You have to know that that is the truth. We just proved that that has to be the truth, did we not? If we can make a statement, God is all there is nothing but God. Some people say there's nothing but love. Whatever, doesn't matter. But there's only ever one thing. And from that one thing, one consciousness. There's only one consciousness, and from that one consciousness springs all consciousnesses. From that one individual springs all the individualized individuals. But it always starts with one. It always starts with one. So you can make that bold statement, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Your potential is unlimited. Well, we know that. We say that all the time. You've heard that since the 70s when they had the wonderful potential movements going on. We are just living in a field of potential, in a field of absolute possibilities. So when you get up in the morning or when you're doing anything, know, what is it that I'm walking through? A field of possibilities. A field of potential. Boil God down to energy. Energy is only ever waiting. It's a potential to spring in to do something. Your light and love fill your world, creating beauty and making a path for others to follow. Your light. Now, we hear that all the time in scriptures. We hear that in all kinds of the Bible and all kinds of it. They're always talking about the light. Remember, you have to remember that we are tiny points of light. We see each other as these bodies, but what we truly are only tiny parts of light called photons. And all those little points of light called photons are loaded with information or loaded with potential to do something. So you really are light. That's what we are. Many people call us light beings. Not L-I-T-E, but L-I-G-H-T. Light beings. So think of that. Remember, this is the month when we're trying to change our reality. And to change our reality, we have to stop thinking the old thoughts. And we have to start seeing ourselves as something different. Listen, my beloved, to your breath, to your heart, to the sounds of peace that surrounds you, and assure you that I am there. I am with you. We are one. We are one. And you can do that at any point in the day. Just sit down and start to get quiet and breathe. And you will find peace. And you will hear peace around you. Regardless of all that traffic noise, regardless of what's going on out there, we vibrate. We have a frequency inside of us, outside you. It's everywhere. But when you become still and listen, you can hear that frequency. You can hear the frequency. And the whole universe vibrates in different frequencies and makes a symphony of its own. Embrace life and move forward to revel in your good and to reveal your true potential. Embrace life. It's a wonderful thing, this experience. Why do we think it's not wonderful? Because we've been taught that it's not wonderful. that, oh, we're having problems, and this is happening, and that's happening, and oh, it's such a drudgery to go through life, and it's this, and it's that. Life is not that, people. Life is a wonderful experience. Learn to enjoy this life. Because once you leave here, this plane of action, you will continue to live. So you better get used to learning how to do it. And once you leave here, you will then decide that you want to come back. And then you'll reincarnate again. There is no beginning, there is no end. The energy that you are, this life that you're having at the present moment, continues. The body dies. The life continues. So embrace life. It's the only thing there is. I know you'd like your mind, I'd say, oh yes, but there's death. There's no such thing as death. There's a transformation, but life is still there. So now if you know that you're always going to be, and that you're always going to be alive, you see, you may go in to different thought forms and so forth, but thought forms happen to be alive people. You see, they just haven't taken clothes and dwelt among us. When you dream, when you think, when you do things, that's a thought form, it's alive. So this is going to continue for what we call eternity. So if you think you don't like your life now and you think, well, it's going to end and then everything will be all right, I'll go into oblivion. You're not going to go into oblivion. I don't care if you're an atheist or what you are, or if you think you're going to go into oblivion. You're not going to do that. Why are you not going to do that? Because this thing that we call God is alive. And it continues, and it continues, and it continues, and it makes all things new. I love you, and I am with you always. Take wing, my beloved, and soar. This is the time to take wing and soar. This is the time for all of us to get what we want, to have this life, you see. What do you want? What do you really, really want for your life? Ask that question. You will receive an answer. You will receive an answer. You see, that's the other thing that people think, oh, I never hear God speaking. God speaks to you all the time. God is always showing you something. God is always directing you. Your mind gets in the way, you say. Remember that Emerson said, get your bloated nothingness out of the way. You have to get your mind, that bloated nothingness is that ego mind. You have to get that ego mind out of the way so that your soul can come to the forefront and direct you with your life. But we're so convinced that the mind knows it all. The mind knows nothing, people. The mind knows nothing. See, the mind cannot heal the mind. That's just like a hamster on one of those wheels. That's all the mind does. It just keeps going around. Can't get out of that. Watch your mind. It just keeps going like that. Has your mind ever healed you of anything? No. And it won't. It doesn't know how. The only thing the mind will ever do is exhaust you. That's the only thing the mind will do. It will exhaust you. So, know that you are the beloved. Get that through. We started these things with wonderful, wonderful me. Remember. And now we're moving up. And we're moving up in consciousness. Till we come to the realization that we truly are the beloved. You see. That we truly are the beloved. that this thing, this power, this force, whatever you want to call it, is in us. And is in us to help us, to give us the life that we really want. But we allow our minds to talk us out of it all the time. You see, we allow that mind to talk us out of it. So, we have to remember what? Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter bit. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So the separation that we talk about that comes in, you see, this teaching teaches only unity, that there's only one power, the power of God. But we separate things, and when we're trying to demonstrate or make a demonstration and manifest something in our lives, the reason that we don't do that is because we separate from the true self, or we separate from this power that we call God, and we go to the illusion. And we buy into the illusion. You see? The illusion at the present moment may be that you don't have money. But that's only an illusion. But if you live in that illusion and you look at that illusion long enough, what does that illusion do? It convinces you that that is the state that you're in, that that is your reality. But if you turn and go to the truth, now you're in a different reality and you can go to that reality. But you have to monitor your mind. You have to see what your mind is telling you each time. Remember, you cannot get abundance and prosperity while you're talking lack and limitation. You cannot get health while you're talking sickness. You cannot get a loving relationship while you're thinking no one wants me. While you're thinking I'm less than. While you're thinking, oh, everyone else can do it, but I can't. You have to see what your mind is saying to you. And then you correct that. You see, you correct that. We've been taught so many wrong things. We have been told so many lies, starting when we were children, and not deliberately. The people who told us the lies, somebody told them the lies, and they thought that those lies were the truth. You see? They thought that those lies were the truth. Years ago, the lie was that the world was flat. You can tell that lie and tell that lie, but it will not make the world flat. You can tell a lie about this thing called God, but it will not change God. God always remains the same. Regardless of what you say about God, God does not change. Therein is a wonderful thing to remember. How many things do you know that don't change? How many relationships do you know that don't change? Your relationship with God does not change. God has always loved you. God will always love you. God always holds you in the highest of esteem. Regardless of what your mind tells you and regardless of what your actions are. When you come around to that realization, then you are living in truth and no longer in the illusion. No longer in the illusion. As I said earlier, we were taught God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Something outside of us, something we didn't understand. We were never taught that there's a God within us and that we are part of that God. No. No one wants to teach that. We have New Thought churches now. We have Unity churches. We have people that are going into that and have been going into it for about 100 years or more. But we still hear all the time wrong information. Wrong information. I tell you all the time that the world out there is convincing. We're always listening. This mind is always picking up all kinds of little things. The other night I turned on that TV. House was on. My doctor's show. I thought, oh, well, this will be enjoyable. Two lies they told. One was, the doctor said to the man, well, you're in your 40s. Of course you're going to have aches and pains. Mm-hmm. Out and out lie. Then House recommended something to a patient, and the head doctor, woman, didn't want to do it. So finally at the end she did it, and my God, the man had cured him. The other doctor says, don't tell House. He needs a little humility. She said, oh, that would be a lie. The doctor said, it's all right to lie. In this case, it's all right to lie. Now that is a lie upon a lie upon a lie. Don't lie, people. Always tell the truth. Why is it so important to tell the truth? Because the faster you tell the truth, the faster you get what you want. Remember that, because the mind will want you to tell a little white lie. It will want you to do something with the facts and so forth. Because your mind said, well, if you really tell the truth, you may not get what you want. But the truth is, the sooner you tell the truth, the faster you get what you want. Wonderful affirmation to remember. Every time you tell the truth, you get what you want sooner. But the mind loves to come up with a reason why you cannot tell the truth. That'll hurt that person. That will do this. That will do that. It's all right to tell a little white lie. Which brings me to a cute story, and I'll tell it. When the Carters were in the White House, what was the mother's name?
Miss Lillian.
A reporter arrived in Plains, Georgia, and Miss Lillian met her and said to her, oh, you look so good. Just love your hair do and all. So later in the interview, she said, well, I understand in the South they tell little white lies and so forth. Could you tell me what a little white lie is? She said, yes. Do you remember when I said I liked your hairdo? That was a little white lie. You see, we think we have to tell lies, and we call them little white lies. Break yourself of that habit. Break yourself of that habit. And go, when you are tempted to tell a lie, say to yourself, huh, the sooner I tell the truth, the faster I get what I want. The faster I get what I want. Abraham Lincoln, remember he said, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember. If you tell a lie, you have to remember. And when you tell so many lies, you have to remember them all. Now look how you're using up your mind. You think about megabytes on a computer. You're using up your mind, and you're using it up in the wrong way. No, don't tell lies. Don't tell lies. All right. We want to be able to change our reality. We want to be able to get what we want. And if we're not getting what we want, it's because we're living in the wrong reality. Because you see, what you want is already there. Everything you want is already done in mind. but it's vibrating in a different reality. It's right here in front of us right now. We can't see it because we're not vibrating with it. When we learn to vibrate at the level of our demonstration, we will have our demonstration. Remember, I said, once you make a treatment, once you make an affirmation, then you must live at that level. You must then live at the level of your treatment. You see, you can't make a treatment for prosperity and say, yada, 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 yada. And then a friend says, let's do something, and you say, oh, I don't have the money. Now you're into lack and limitation. You just made a treatment for money. Remember, you say to the friend, oh, I'm choosing not to do that at the present moment. But let's do something else. But keep yourself open. Maybe the friend wants to take you to lunch. You see, you have to learn to live at the level of your demonstration. Remember, I made an affirmation years ago. I am a reader. Now, once I made that affirmation, what did I have to do? I had to at least buy a book and start to read. You see, you can't make a statement like, I'm going to be a reader, and then just sit there and not limit that level of demonstration. So you go out and you buy a book, you start. Always it's going to take an action step. Always. To create anything, you have to have an action step. It's not going to drop into your lap. Not going to drop into your lap. What we want to be able to do is change the habitual thinking that goes on in our mind that we took in as a truth, that we took in as a fact, and that we started to believe. So we have to be able to change those. So how do we change those thoughts so that we can have the reality that we want? We have to become a witness to our own thinking and get ourselves out of the prison that we have put ourselves in. We're the ones that are building the prison walls all the time. We build that with our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes, our viewpoints, and our opinion. We have to learn to change those. But it starts with us. We have to see ourselves as the beloved. We have to see ourselves as filled with light. We have to see ourselves filled with this energy that we talk about all the time. Call it cosmic energy. You have to be able to feel cosmic energy. Remember, we did that. You could feel the cosmic energy. You have to be able to feel that and then realize that you can change it into anything that you want. That you can change it into anything that you want. But we don't hold it long enough for it to change. We get around friends, we get around the television, we get around other things, and it completely destroys the mold that we have just made or the form that we have just made. We call them thought forms. Now, if you look at it and you say it's a thought form, you can see a form, an outline around it. See? Now you have to fill that in. That's the whole idea. Now it takes clothes and dwells among us. So we go back in our thinking and we think, how did I get here? How did I incarnate on this planet? I was a thought form. I was a thought form. And then I thought, oh, what would it be to be a human being? How would I do that? Well, I better pick at the present moment somebody to come through. So I search around while I'm in this state. when I find who, I'll pick those as my mother and father. Then that thought form goes through 9 months of starting to put clothes on the form. And here we are. So everything in your life comes in the same way. Not through your mother, but it has to be born. It has to be birthed in to this plane of action. You have to be able to do that. So there's that gestation period, that's that incubation period, that's that holding it, nurturing your thought, loving your thought, till it manifests. But if you don't love yourself, how are you going to be able to do it? How are you going to be able to do it? It has to start with you knowing that you're one with this thing called God. It has to start with the idea that you truly are the Beloved, and that this thing called God wants to give it to you and knows how to give it to you. Knows how to do that. Transmutation. You're saying. Everything is made from the same stuff. Everything is made from the same stuff. It just is fit together differently to form what you want. So learn how to form the things that you want in your mind. How to hold them and how to think about them. And how to know that it's already done. And it's not going to take an eternity for you to be able to do it. Remember, all miracles are instantaneous at the moment of belief. At the moment of belief. Andy loves the saying, God does not ask us to try harder. God asks us to believe more. You have to believe. And you have to believe in yourself. So, in your mind, go back and think, what did my parents, what did these authority figures around me tell me about this thing called God? And then love that, bless that, and release that. You see, tradition is all well and good. But we have to think for ourselves. You see, the two things that they say people never choose in their life, they just take it for granted, is religion and politics. You see, you were born into a certain religion, you usually stay in that religion the rest of your life because your mind does not think you out of it. Politics are the same way. If you were born into a Republican family, you will probably stay Republican the rest of your life, or a Democrat. You see? So we could call that an accident of birth. But you have to realize that. You could have been born into some other religion. Is that the religion you want? Is this the way you want to think? You see? What are you thinking? What are you thinking about yourself? It's all right, you know. You can think anything. You see, that's the nice thing about this thing called God. God really wants us to think about everything and to make our own choices and our own decisions. You have to come, it always boils down to, what are you thinking every moment of every day? You see, it requires diligence. What are you thinking every moment of every day? How many times a day do you say, I am the Beloved, I am wonderful, I am whole, complete, and perfect. I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. How many times in a day do you say that? Or do you allow your mind to say, oh, this isn't working, that's going bad, this is going, oh, look at this, look at the stock market, though the gas prices are going up, this is going down. Those are illusions. And we buy into them constantly, don't we? So you have to get out of the separation. If you buy into the illusion, if you buy into the world, you're done for. Oh, you can live through this life and you can. Many people like living in the illusion. They don't know any better. But once you start to think for yourself, once you have an aha moment, and you realize, oh my goodness, my whole life can change. My whole life can change. And it changes in a moment, in an instant, by a thought that goes through your head. One thought shifts everything. You see? So shift your thoughts the way you want them. It's not hard. It's hard to keep it shifted, but it's not hard to shift. And it doesn't require a great big shift. Just a little shift. You see, one little crack in your thinking will let the light in. One little crack will let the light in. So ask yourself, do I really believe this? And see what your mind says. Don't let your mind talk you out of it. Don't let your mind talk you out of it. We have a herding instinct. And the mind has that same instinct. It likes to associate with people that are thinking the same things. But I want to tell you, you can never raise your consciousness any higher than the group that you're associated with. Cannot do it. The group will not allow you. A ceiling is put on it. Why don't join groups? You can never go any higher than the group. Why am I saying that? Because most religions are groups. And you cannot raise any higher than the group that you're in with that religion. But people stay in these groups. Why? Because they think that there's salvation through affiliation. Not true. Not true. First of all, none of us need to be saved. We've never been lost. Give that idea up that you're lost. Why is that an impossibility? Because you are the beloved in whom this thing called God, or whom this universe considers beloved and is well pleased with you. How many people are pleased with themselves? Yes. Be pleased with yourself. Yes, put the hand up. Don't be afraid to put your hand up and be pleased with yourself. That's a wonderful thing. If you're not pleased with yourself, what is the sense of it all?
Even if you're not, can you just fake it till you make it and put that hand up?
You can. But while you're doing that, know and say, darn it, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to be pleased with myself. I'm going to see all my good qualities. I'm going to see what I've done. Every one of us should be pleased with ourselves. We've done marvelous things. We've done marvelous things. Your mind wants to tell you that's not true. You've done marvelous things. And you've helped people you don't even know. So, yes, be pleased with yourself. So if you want to change reality, start with that you're pleased with yourself, that you know that you're the beloved, that you're connected with this thing called God. It's not outside of you somewhere. And get a clear idea of what it is that you want. And then just hold that idea and it will manifest for you. It will manifest for you. In order to change our thinking this evening, let's close our eyes a moment. And let's see ourselves standing in the center of a room. And around that room are tables. And behind those tables are the wisest counselors in the whole universe. And then they are there in that room with you at the present moment, not only to tell you how wonderful you are, but to advise you and that they have a plan for you. And that plan is for you to be completely fulfilled in every way that you want to be fulfilled. They know how to do that. And they are willing to give you the plan. They have been around since before the beginning of time. They know everything. And they know exactly what to give you. They know every event and every action for you to experience so that you can reach your goal. And they talk to you. And they tell you that. And each one not only loves you, but is with you in this wonderful journey called life. So take a moment. See those wonderful, wise advisors, those counselors. See how proud they are of you. And accept their help and accept their plan. I will be quiet a moment while you do that. now as that's done, those counselors, those wise individuals, inform you that they are always with you, that they have always been with you, and that you can come here anytime and ask for help. With that done, return to the room, to this room. This is how you change your concept of how things are and how things are done. You can use this all the time. It works all the time. Be willing to do it. Be willing to do it. Could everyone get something from that? Yes. Learn to think differently. Let me do some cards. I love my cards. How clearly, how intimately do you want God to see you? Good question, isn't it? Your highest purpose is what your soul can accomplish in union with your ego and God. Not in opposition to them. I'll read that again. Your highest purpose is what your soul can accomplish in union with your ego and God, not in opposition to them. If you take eternity to mean not infinite temporal duration, but timelessness, eternal life belongs to those who live in the present. Learn to see time differently, people. Learn to see time differently. There's no such thing as time. And eternity is in the moment. And when you realize that every moment is eternity, you realize you'll live forever. You see, we think it's something big. It's not. Only in the moment. Oh, yes, I love this one. Get your mind out of your soul's way. Isn't that good? Exposure to truth changes your life. This is why most people run from truth rather than toward it. Truth, exposure to truth changes your life. You have to be ready for your life to change. You have to be ready for the truth. Once you know the truth, your life changes. You cannot live in the illusion any longer. Once you know the truth, you can't live in the illusion. And you see, you buy into the illusion. You think that that is the greatest thing, this illusion that we're having. It's a little trick the mind loves to do to you. It's just projecting that out there. It's nothing to do with anything. Life is a journey of practicing consciousness, not perfecting it. Life is a journey of practicing consciousness, not perfecting it. I have this one that I do for myself all the time, and it's this. And I tell it to people who think that they have to be so perfect in everything. How many people remember the Count of Monte Cristo? Well, in the Count of Monte Cristo, remember the priest that dug through and happened to know where all the treasure was? He was in prison because he lied. He told him, no, he did not know where that treasure was. So the man who became the Count of Monte Cristo says to him, you mean to tell me you lied? He said, yes, I'm a priest, not a saint. Remember that in your life. You're a priest, not a saint. We're not saints. Everyone wants to go into sainthood right away. You see? They'll say you're a great deal with grief. I do something wrong. I do something stupid. I say, I'm a priest, not a saint. And I go on about my business. Think of it. To keep consciousness at bay, to keep the status quo, we deliberately nurture depths in ourselves and in God. We deliberately nurture depths in ourselves and in God. You know perfectly when your mind starts to make a doubt, don't you? You can see that now. And then you turn around and you nurture those doubts. Get rid of doubts. You see, you're doing it to yourself. Once you learn that you become a witness to your thinking, once you learn that you can hear what your mind is saying to you, you can stop the damn thing from doing it. But see, it's so clever, it does that, and then it immediately tells you, oh no, that was you. That was you. Remember the mind, what it says? This is the mind. You're nothing, Dallas, but a rotten, lazy lounge lizard. You'll never amount to a hill of beans. Who the hell do you think you are? Now, the last thing the mind says, after it tells me all that, it says, I was never here. And it goes away. And I say to myself, that must be true because I thought it. I must be a lazy lounge lizard. I must be no good. How tricky the mind is. What did that look like, by the way? No, a snake. It's the snakes, it's the reptiles in your mind that are causing all the trouble. Can you see how that your mind, what your mind does? The last thing it always will say is, I was never here. And you say, well, it must be true. My mind thought that. You say, that's why you must say to your mind, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You have never been my friend. You have never brought me any good news. Now go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You cannot listen to it. Last one. Faith is not belief. Belief is passive. Faith is active. Faith is active. We have to move. You have to take an action. You see, once you make a decision, once you take an action, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that. But it will not do it till you make the decision. Until you take the action. Once you do it, the universe will back you up in that. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.